Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello, greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us in this beautiful night, really refreshing night. It is July the 3rd of the year of our Lord 2021, and it is the greatest time to celebrate the birth of the greatest country of all, the United States of America. So, happy 4th of July, and this is Usama Dakdak with you from the state of Missouri, and with us tonight, as usual, our producer and my co-host, the one and only one, Christy Johnson from Mississippi. Hello, Christy, and how are you? And a happy 4th of July to you.
Well, thank you, Usama. I'm doing well, thankful that we can still celebrate Independence Day, even though I know the Democrats were really disappointed that we were able to do that. I mean, they really didn't want it to happen.
You know what? Yeah, you know what, Christy? Last night I was at my local church here where I go and worship with. It's a beautiful church. It's called Harmony Church, and they do this every year. I mean, big firework, better than the one you see in Disney. And I was sitting next to the people around me, and I was talking with everybody. First, we have great fellowship, great meals, great visit and everything. It was awesome. And then we have the firework, and I said, if it will be with the liberals' way, we will never have fireworks. They will tell you that hurts Mother Earth. That hurts the ozone. That is not good for global warming. And all the smoke come out. It is very dangerous. You could start a fire. And they will find any and every excuse in the book, you can imagine, to say, well, some people get hurt by the firework. And they will do anything to end the celebration of the independence of America because they hate America. They wish that this country never exists. Can you imagine if you hate somebody in your family and they have a birthday and say, I wish them to die. Literally, they would love to see America end so they will not ever celebrate our Independence Day because they are so evil. No more or less than that. They are simply so evil. They want America last and they don't even want America anywhere to exist. So, this is sad. It is sick. But we celebrated yesterday in our church. Wonderful time. And boy, oh boy, before we just start, I'm listening to Mr. Trump, and he is doing a great speech in Sarasota, as you shared with me, Christy. And man, there is still hope. I still see a glimpse of hope. I still see some light in the end of the tunnel, which we just started in the first year. It's getting so dark, but I still can see there is hope and there is light, especially with midterm election. If we could not end the corruption of the Democrats, and they're trying to drown this country, for heaven's sake, if we don't stop them in 2022, then there will not be America to celebrate in the near future.
Well, Usama, I have to say that I'm glad to hear you say those things because ultimately we are always been in the same battle. It's always been the same battle. It's a spiritual war. And maybe because people are seeing how quickly and how badly things are going since Biden has been in office, it is literally a hope that people will wake up and realize, you know what? I can't sit on the sidelines. I can't ignore what's going on any longer. I have to get involved. And that's one of the things I said describing our show tonight. And I'll read it if you don't mind, because I know you can't when you're on the phone. Okay.
Yeah.
Independence Day 2021. Is America rushing to the judgment of God? The Bible tells us judgment day is ahead for all nations. How close is it? will Americans step back from destruction? Are we sharing the truth, or are we burying our talents in the ground? It's a spiritual war. We are in. Are we in the fight or on the sidelines? And that is the question. Are we going to fight for the truth? Are we going to fight for what's right? And as a matter of fact, I was having a conversation just last night with someone who said, you know, there's a time to just step back and be quiet. And they actually had a Bible verse for that. And I said, you know, that's true. It's true. The Bible does say there's a time when a wise man holds his tongue and just, you know, steps back. But we're not in that time. We are in the time of standing up for the truth, because as you've taught me, Usama, and probably enlightened me on this more than I ever knew before I met you, we're in America. We're not going to get arrested in mass because we stand up and say, you know what, Trump won the election. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for our sins. We can still say that in America. So it's not hopeless. But if people don't do the work of preaching the gospel, if they won't stand up and be salt and light in this country, there's hope for no other country.
Sure.
You know, except we know that God will protect Israel, but we're the hope for the whole world. And all of them are wondering, what's wrong with America? If we go down, it'll take everybody down.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I agree.
I
you know
hope.
What? Christian in the Christian world look at America completely different than the rest of the world look at America. As an Egyptian Christian myself, we know that, I hate to say this to people think that we depend on America. No, we know that America is a Christian nation. We know that America have power. It's a powerful country. But sadly, as I always say, if we allow the Democrats to continue to control this country, America will not be any closer to Christian. America will be a place where Christians are going to be persecuted.
Yes.
We'll keep the Democrat in power. Not only the Christian in America will be persecuted, but the Christian in the whole world will be persecuted. We know in
Egypt,
if we have a strong Christian in America, we're protected in Egypt. Because this is the body of Christ. I'm not saying we're counting America as giving God. No, it is God's chosen people, God believers in people, the people who believe in God among the people. These are the only two different people than the rest of the world. God's chosen people, Israel, and the believers in Christ, the Christians, are the only two where we can see the promises and God's fulfilling his promise. And God is being faithful even when neither one, the Christian or the Jewish, are doing what is right. And I hate to say that it does not give us the excuse to continue to do what's wrong, because we're missing the blessing. Then we're bearing the consequence of our sins. I mean, I don't think God's going to turn his back against the church, because it's very simple. He said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So the church will be strong until the Lord come and take us home. It is a fact. But if we Christians are not doing what is right, we lose the blessing of the presence of God in our life, and we will be persecuted. And I know this will be at the end of time. So let's do what is right. Let's stand up for the Lord. Let's stand up for Israel and see what the Lord is going to do. I believe this will change everything.
Yes, and that's why I want us to continue to have hope and continue to do the work of the ministry. You know, if you're still here and you're alive today, wherever you are, but particularly if you're in America, this is a foolish time for you to give up on Jesus. It's a foolish time for you to give up on the Lord. His coming is very soon, and your life is not going to last forever. So you're going to face Jesus, and I think about that parable about the sower. I mean, I'm sorry, the ones that were given the talents, okay?
Yeah.
And one of them got one talent, and he buried it in the ground. Because he said, oh, you're a harsh master, and you reap where you didn't sow, and I just want to make sure that I give you back what you gave me. It did nothing with their salvation. Yeah. That is how I look at it. Go ahead.
The Lord talk about 10 talents given to 10 separate people. Sometimes we think that he gave one more than other. But the first one worked so hard, and he gained 10. 10 was the same talent of that wicked one. And then the Lord moved to another one who made 5. And then he went to the wicked one, which he did nothing with it. He just buried it in the ground in some piece of fabric, and the master came and said, take it. Here it is. It's Luke 19, the parable in Luke 19. So, obviously, he could have worked hard with it, and he could have made 10 like the one who worked hard with 10. And I believe the Lord has given us all equal talents, but it's how hard we want to work with it. And because he was evil, he's actually taken what he has taken and gave it to the one who made the work harder. And it's a very great parable. I was just recording a radio program about it just 2 days ago. Very unique, because Muslims will use that, by the way, Christy, Luke 19, to say, oh, Jesus behead people like Muhammad behead people. You idiots. It's a parable. It's not a true story. Jesus did not behead anybody yet. Because guess what? This parable will be fulfilled, and all those who rejected Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior for them, they will be killed, not just for on the flesh, but for eternity in hell. Anyway, go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry to your teaching here. Go ahead.
No. You're exactly right. But you see, the problem is if we can understand that Jesus said he's not willing that any should perish. Think about this. He gave that servant one talent. He gave him something to work with. There's nobody that God has condemned and doesn't want to bring to salvation. I'm hearing a lot of false teaching lately that there's certain people, oh, Jesus isn't even going to try with them. They're condemned. I hear the stupidest false teaching you can imagine. So I'm saying, no, he gave each of them something. There was one that did nothing with it. I'm telling you, the Lord doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. So you as his hands and feet, you as his body, he's empowering you to reach out to others and bring in a harvest. He's given you what you need to do it. But one of those servants, I don't know. I've heard different ways this has been taught. But the point is, he said, I was afraid, so I hid it in the ground. Is there a message here? You're not supposed to be afraid. With what the Lord gave you, you're to bring forth a harvest. And that's one of the things that we should see in America. You want to know if there's lost people in America? You know, I used to have Christians tell me, everybody in America has heard the gospel. Everybody in America goes to church. Of course, I'm very old, Usama, so this was many years ago. But you know what's strange is, I guess because of the work I do, I kept running into people that didn't know the Lord. I was running into people that had problems, and they never heard the gospel, and they were really messed up. So, you know, maybe God just brings messed up people in my life. I don't know what it is, but the point is, you got to wake up. If you're a Christian, there's somebody around that you, maybe in your own family, who's lost, and you have been given an opportunity to take that talent that God gave you and bring forth a harvest. Bring forth more than what God gave you. So anyway, that's my little preaching thing. But now, I want to say how thankful we all should be in America for our freedom and the wisdom that I think was God-given to establish our country, our nation, on the principles of the Judeo-Christian Bible. That is something that even some atheists I've heard say how thankful they are that there are Christians in America, because they're the ones that are bringing order and blessing to the country. Can you imagine an atheist saying that? on television.
Well, Christy, that reminds me, okay, that reminds me exactly of what's happening in Egypt. When we have the revolution in Egypt, and Mohamed Morsi was removed from power after 1 year, this Muslim Brotherhood have been trying to do this for almost 90-some years, and the Muslims of Egypt, not the Muslim Brotherhood, the Muslims who are Muslims in name only, they said that change which takes place in Egypt, the removal of Mohamed Morsi and the entire Muslim Brotherhood, it is the answer. Listen to what the Muslims said. It is the answer of the Christian people. Prayer.
Yes.
Let me say it again.
Yes.
It is the answer for the Christian people. Prayers. It's not because Allah answers the prayer. It's because Jesus answers the Christian prayer. What a great testimony. What a powerful truth that even the Muslim of Egypt, who knows that the change took place in Egypt and we have success to remove the foolishness and the destruction of America by the Muslim of Egypt by the Muslim Brotherhood, this was simply because God answered the prayers of the Christian. Man, oh
so,
man, what a great testimony.
Absolutely, and that's what we need to happen in America, because it's the same situation. Evil is always going to try to rise to the top to dominate a nation and bring evil destruction to people, particularly to Christians. But you know what? God hears our prayers. We need to keep praying, because there is always hope. If there wasn't hope, the Lord would have eliminated already the world. But we can look forward and say there's still hope. But I want to tell you about some of the problems. You know, in the slideshow, which I hope people go back and look at if you haven't seen it, I try to put together some insight into what we're talking about in the slideshow. So, of course, I had a picture of the flag and the 4th of July, which is Independence Day, and that wonderful celebration. And there's some beautiful pictures of children dressed up celebrating the 4th of July, the birth of America. And they're in patriotic clothes with a flag. There's a little boy who's black, and he's holding a flag so proudly, a beautiful little black girl. And the reason I say this is because the other picture is of some children who are white. United, the United States of America. That's what we were established to be. Not to be a racist country, but a place where everyone can enjoy the freedom that God gave this country. This country didn't establish freedom because of racists. The country was established on freedom because of God, because of the Lord. And so we all can benefit from that, whatever color we are. People that have come from Asian countries, from Vietnam, from Laos, from Cuba, from South America, that came here legally and worked hard so they could be a part of the American dream and the freedom here. And many of them were interviewed at this Trump rally before it started. Why are you here? Because I love America, and I came here because of the freedom. And I believe that, you know, I supported Trump in the 2020 election, and I'm going to continue to support his movement, and I want to hear him. You know what? That's beautiful. But it's about God providing it. Trump didn't provide that freedom. I think he's fighting for it, and I hope people are fighting for it. But it is God himself that blessed us and provided us that freedom. So now the sad thing is as we enter the end times, we know it's a time of deception. And I know every week when you share about Islam, you're talking about one of the great deceptions that's in the world. But right here in America, I mean, you brought this up to me, and I'd heard about it a week ago that this was going to happen. But officially, on July the 25th, in June, I think it was the 28th, we had an announcement that the Army is now going to provide gender transition care to people in the military who want to change their gender. It will be provided the counseling, the mental health support, hormones, and surgery. Can you imagine this?
I love it. I love it. Did they know that this is going to bring them some harmful, psychological harmful after they change the gender from a male to a female, a female to a male? And maybe this will be bring some kind of weird curse of on us because of what we're doing. I mean, literally, here's the deal, Christy. In 2 John 7 to 11, the Bible said, if we will, ever wrong is happening, we will also be cursed. So for us in America to do nothing about it and allow this to take place, that we're going to use our tax money to pay for these literally abomination work of men, that will be bringing a curse not only on those who do
yeah.
the surgery, because I've not yet, Christy, I never have any study yet show me that the people who change their gender, they have a joyful, happy life as the opposite sex of what it used to be. And I guarantee you that plenty of curses is going to come not only on these people, but on the rest of us for we allowing this to happen. And I'm not saying that people go carry weapons and go fight. No, we need to stand up and speak. We are not for that, because if we are not speaking against it, that means we are for it. And that will give the right, the just, to judge even those who know what's wrong or what's right, but they are not speaking against it. So it's time for the Christian to stand up and do what is right.
Well, I agree with you, Usama, but after I, looked up this article and this information, and we know that they were trying to do this earlier, but with Trump in office, that was never going to happen. I mean, that was just, it wasn't going to happen while Trump was in office. Of course, that's another reason why they have painted Trump as being a racist, a white supremacist, an evil person. No, you know what he said tonight, and I loved it in his speech. He said, look, I just believe in common sense. It's not that I hate this one or that one, but I believe in common sense. And this is common sense, that this does not make a strong mm-hmm. military. Mm-hmm. This is common sense that we should not be subjecting children to these type of operations. It's common sense that we should not have, the next thing you're going to see on the slideshow is Drag Queen Story Hour. Now, this has been going on since about 2015, but in some cases, it was stopped by parents or community leaders who stopped it. In a library in Austin, Texas, this started, and the law to say taxpayer money could not be used to pay to have a drag queen story hour. Usama, do you know what a drag queen is?
I was just about to ask you, would you please help me out and tell me what in the world are you talking about? Because in Egypt, we don't have to think, and I have no idea what you're talking about. So go.
I know
tell
you
me,
don't.
Speak to me as a child now. I have no idea what you're talking about, and help me out here. Go for it.
Okay. These are primarily men who dress up as women, and that is part of their lifestyle. Most of these people are entertaining others in nightclubs, and they dance and they sing and they put on very exotic gowns or clothing that is quite, suggestive. They wear lots of makeup, and they, for all practical intents and purposes, pretend that they are female. And this is one of these things that I did not think you would know is going on. But this was started a number of years ago, and it was called Drag Queen Story Hour. Because some locations and some municipalities, some cities have stopped this, it's now gone on to PBS, children's programs. They have Drag Queen Story Hour with one of their most famous or well-known drag queens reading to the children a book that he wrote called The Drag Queen Goes Swish, 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 and he illustrates that.
What is Swish, Swish?
It means that he swings his body as he walks as if he were a woman, walking in a very provocative way to entice people sexually. Okay? That's what he means.
They want this to be performed in front of our little children?
Usama, this is why I try to tell you I do a lot of studying on these issues. And I know that the pictures that I have in the slideshow, people really need to see them. They need to see these people. It's like why I put these beautiful little children all dressed and carrying American flags in their patriotic clothing. And then you look at these same age little children, 5 years old and under, sitting in the libraries with these drag queens entertaining them and reading to them. And in many cases, there are adults sitting there with them. Now, here's the question. I don't know if those adults are their parents. I don't know. But I will tell you, some of the pictures were so provocative that they were deleted from the library's record because some of these drag queens, this one particular that I do have two pictures of, is laying on the floor and has these children laying on top of him. I have those pictures. Their little faces are blotted out. You can't see their faces. And, of course, the drag queen is dressed up in their clothes. It's not like anybody is undressed, but it is disgusting. So I found one of the articles where one of these pictures was there, and it says, what is the social impact of drag queens in kids' story hour at these libraries? And there's one of the pictures. So I hope people, when I always say, please go and look at the slideshow, and you tell me you need to do that later.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, in contrast to our American flag, I was able to discover 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I've been told that there are more than these 12, but 12 flags that are symbols of the LGBTQ community. And so you can pick your flag that you want to fly to tell people what your sexual orientation is or what groups you support.
Don't you love that?
I mean, you have an American flag that puts us all together. United States of America. We have a flag that puts us all together. United States of America. One nation under God. Now, these people fly all these different flags, and basically they say they're all part of the same community, but they all have their own unique flag to tell you what? To tell you if they're transgendered, if they're non-binary, if they're intersex flag, if the flag for the asexual community, the modern pride flag, the gay man flag, the flag for the lesbian community. They all got their flags. Is this uniting? It doesn't even unite those people. It's crazy. But anyway, I put those pictures up for people to see.
Let me ask a quick question here.
Yes.
The Christians or those who call themselves Christians who like and support gay and lesbian, do they upset because there was no Christian flag? Do you see a Christian flag there?
Usama, of course not. These are only flags that are there. I didn't get this off a Christian website. Please don't misunderstand me. I took that off of a gay pride celebration website.
That, but will the gay allow the Christian to have the Christian flag there as well or no?
No. It's a place where they're promoting these flags. I mean, it's a business that they sell these flags. Why would they have a Christian flag there? No, you're misunderstanding what that is. It's just showing you all the different gay flags you can get to show your gay pride or your pride, whatever it is. I don't want to mislabel it because some people, it has nothing to do with gay.
My point is a sarcastic question. Maybe you understand what I'm saying here. But if gay and lesbian are welcome inside the many of these wacko churches, why not they allow this Christian of this wacko church to have their own flag as back, you know, pay back for the gay and lesbian? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I got you. But I don't have a way to answer that question. But there's one picture, and I sent it to you, but it didn't have this saying on it. This picture is showing what has been mm-hmm. labeled as Satanic Drag Queen Teaches Children and Kids. And there
yeah.
is this drag queen, seriously, with these horns coming out of their head. They look
Man.
It looks very devilish, but lots of
yeah.
makeup and a beautiful gown. And again, here's these little kids. I mean, they're 3 years old. Some of them might be two. Sitting there listening to the story hour, the drag queen story hour. And this is going on all over America. When I checked this out, you had listings of when there was going to be the next event of a gay story hour at different libraries around the country. Okay? So this particular picture, I liked it because this is what it says over the picture. And this is, I hope you get to see it. It says, who else thinks they should have drag queen story hour at the mosques, too, just for the sake of diversity? Are they going to allow this in a mosque, Usama? Because some churches are supporting this.
Let's see this for a minute. A mosque in America in the next 4 or 5 years will have gay and lesbian pray. They join the gay and lesbian. They will fight for gay and lesbian to show to the Americans that Muslims are moderate. Muslims are not what you think, Christy. You got it wrong. Muslims love gay. Muslims love lesbian, as they've been doing for the last 10 years or so. And they will continue to do that to get the gay and lesbian to have all
yes.
the rights fulfilled, as they already been. And that's when Muslims will have, until Muslims have the upper hand, and that's where they hunt them all. If you are not going to submit and become a good Muslim, we're going to kill you. We're going to get rid of you. That's exactly
well,
the Muslim agenda
I,
for the gay and lesbian of America.
And you've been talking about that for years, but Usama, you have to see this picture because this will be one of the first people, in my opinion, that they're going to kill. I mean, seriously, you have to see this picture. And I hope if any of our listeners are looking at this slideshow, they might call in to give their comments about it. Of course, I show a picture
sure.
of Jesus Christ looking at the earth and weeping. Because this is the problem we're facing. We've always been facing a spiritual war. But this is a war against the children of America. And is not going to fight this unless they have the courage and the boldness from God to do it. Because it is far too political.
Yes.
To say anything about this. And again, I having this discussion with someone very close to me, and they said, well, I don't want to get involved in politics. It's all corrupt. Everybody's just as bad. Of course, you know, I go, yeah, everybody's a sinner. And some of us have received Christ and been forgiven and saved by his grace because of his shed blood. Okay, that's the only difference here. But the point is, yeah, but I don't want to get mixed up in it because it's all so corrupt. It's all so bad. And I said, well, what option do you have that you can use to stand up against evil? What is it that you have that you can use to stand up against this stuff? So you just let these kids be exposed to this kind of garbage because you don't want to be political? Take a look at where our country's going because the Christians have checked out. You know what I mean? Not all of them. Some of them are very involved, and I'm thankful for that, and I'm hopeful for that. But this is what we are fighting. It's the destruction of our children. Not only are they being exposed to this, and again, I watched it on PBS, the Drag Queen Story Hour comes right on there with like Sesame Street and stuff. So there are even characters that are starting to appear on Sesame Street with this same agenda. So again, Jesus would like to save these children. He would like to save these adults that are so messed up and lost, but it ain't going to happen unless we stand up and deal with it.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you, Christine. I'm glad you got into this subject tonight. And hopefully, prayerfully, people will start talking about it, sharing with others. They always start with a small group. It always starts in a small community. And this can grow to say, not anymore. Not in my lifetime.
Yeah,
or I will do everything I can to expose it. And if people choose not to change, then I don't want to have the blood on my hand. See, there's one thing that I cannot change it, and I'd be quiet. That is the worst thing, the sin of silence. Remember the preaching sermon we have put in our radio program ago, 10 years ago or so? It is one of the worst sins, the sin of silence. You see something wrong, and you don't do anything about it to stop it. So we're not going to do that. We're going to speak out loud. We're going to expose it. And if people do what is right, praise God. If not, then our hand is clean and pure before the Lord. Amen?
Yes, I agree with you. And you know what? That might be something we can play tonight at the end. I have that still on our website in our studio, The Sin of Silence.
Absolutely.
I have that.
You know what? This is a sermon I have not heard for a long time, and I would love to hear it again.
All right. That sounds good. So now what I would like to just kind of, you know, come back into, now that we see these problems, and now that we know there are issues that need to be dealt with in America, and we've got all of these people who really may not have any hope. You know, if you've got a child and they're going to school and being exposed to this stuff, let me tell you something. You may not know, because the people that are doing these things, many of them are just being forced into it. It's like critical race theory. They're being forced into it. It's like, you have to teach this or you will lose your job. So you need to be paying attention. And we've said that for years, Usama, that things that are being taught in the school that parents don't know are so damaging to them. They're so damaging, but parents are not aware of it. So they haven't taken a stand. But we tried to say they're promoting Islam in the school textbooks. There's a whole presentation that we put together. It's hours of stuff. What's in the textbooks? Teaching that Christianity is false and Islam is the correct and true thing, because Muhammad came after Jesus and the Quran is the word of God, and the Bible is just people claim something about it. So, but it's like the same problem. Once these lies entered into the church and entered into the school, now there's nobody standing up against it. And, you know, we're still trying to expose it. Mm-hmm.
It will make more, what you're telling me right now, it make more sense to people, because if Muhammad's a prophet and the Quran is a revelation from God, why will, and Allah is God, why would Allah send another prophet if the old books are okay, if the old religion is okay? And so it doesn't make any sense. So now Muslims slowly building up the cases that nobody in America will say Muhammad is not a prophet. Nobody will dare to say that. So Muhammad's a prophet, okay. And he come with the Quran, the word of Allah, which is true, okay. and nobody is going to say anything wrong about it. So why is that? Oh, because the early books, and we have read this in one of our study last textbooks, the early books have been corrupted. The old prophets have been rejected. That's why Allah sent his final prophet. Oh, now we see. It makes sense. It makes sense. But in reality, it's all a lot from the bottom of hell.
It's, the only problem is it isn't
but
true.
All
that's the
all
problem.
Because people could not have the guts to say, no, Muhammad is not a prophet, Allah is not God, Islam is not a true religion, it's a savage cult, and here is the truth. Take it or leave it.
Yeah. One of the things is because those lies come in and they're not challenged and the Christian community does nothing about it, then guess what? You know, who do you think said these words? Resist Satan and he'll flee from you. Does that sound familiar? Like maybe it came out of the New Testament? Resist Satan and he'll flee from you?
It's the word of God. Mm-hmm.
No.
Yes, ma'am.
So how is it that we didn't realize we have to resist to get this stuff out? And people are starting to realize it. Some, little by little. I think it's going with this critical race theory that people are very upset about. But this was like down the line. It all started earlier. And now we have these issues about homosexuality. You think critical race theory is a problem? It is. But how about when they're teaching your kids that they don't know what sex they are? They don't know if they're a boy or a girl. Because you can't know that right away. One day you may feel one way, and the next day you may feel another. They're filling kids' minds with this garbage. And we have got to resist. This is not of God. We got to resist. You know?
Yeah. In Egypt, anyway. In Egypt, when you are 8 or 9 years old, your dad will call you young man, young lady, young man, even
yeah.
like your children. But you know, you're a boy, you have a physical body of a boy, your parents call you young man, and you're a girl, you have a physical body of a girl, and your parents will tell you young lady. No, here in America, we want to wait, as it was a joke given by my beloved wife, literally 5, 6 years ago, that on the birth certificate, we're not going to say what is the sex of the baby, and we're just going to put the statement to be determined later. This was a joke.
Yeah.
Even by Vicky Dacock, my beloved wife, just 5, 6 years ago. And guess what? It's coming to an office near you. What is going to tell you? You cannot put a baby, a boy or a girl. How do you know? Maybe when he or she grew up, they don't want to be called boys or girls. I mean,
yeah.
It is sick.
But now when...
The comedies, the jokes we say today, Christy, it is reality tomorrow.
Well, and it's not even when they grow up, they may want to be something else. It's by the time they're 8 years old. In some cases, when you said at 8 years old, they're calling you young man or young lady. That's perfect. That's how it was when I was growing up as well. It hasn't always been like this in the United States. But the point is now they're telling you at 8 years old, they can decide if they don't want to be a young man. Or she doesn't want to be a young woman, she can be something else. And that this is where, in some cases, they have taken parents who did not agree with this. The school has and says, oh, you have to let your child show their gender identity correctly because they don't want to be a boy at school. They want to be a girl. And the parents are the ones being called on the carpet for not giving in to this foolishness. And it isn't just foolishness, it's evil. So anyway, folks, we see
yes,
there's a battle. Yes. It's a spiritual battle. You're not fighting against these people. It's a spiritual war against Satan's plans
but
to destroy
what, Christy,
this country.
Christy, all this can end. If we can have some unity among Christians and
yeah.
the people in this country who have logic and common sense, and they will go to the school and they will remove that garbage from the school and they remove the garbage teacher who's teaching that garbage out of the school and get rid of those board members of the school board members from out because of garbage out of the school, and we can take back our school back. Or it's very simple. We take all our children out of the public schools, and not just that. will take our fund, the money we pay from our taxation every year out of the school, and they can have it. As a matter of fact, I will go even a step deeper, that these school buildings, we paid for it all these years. You cannot take the school building too. How about you take your garbage out of our public school with whatever garbage parents want to teach the children, that if there's some gay and lesbian out there, and get out of our school building, because this is our school building, which we built by our tax money in the last 50 or 100 years. I really don't believe we should just leave the school. We should take our school back physically, the school building, and we tell the garbage board school member, you're out. And your students will believe in this garbage with their parents out, and we're going to continue to control our schools. We're going to we'll pay for it. You want to take the school building? Okay, pay us back. I want my money back. I've been in this country, Christy, for 30 years. I've been paying taxation every year, and some of the money I pay, which is whatever percentage, it goes to the school property, school building, school teacher's salary. And you know what? I never use a dime. A dime out of all this money towards my son, because my son was not educated in a public school. He was educated in a homeschooling, our Christian schooling, in a private schooling. Now, if they really want to continue to do that, I want to add all the money I have given to the school system in the last 30 years. I'm not going to go for 100 years, because the last 30 years since I came to this country, 1991, and first year, I worked and I pay money and I pay taxes. I want all this money back, and then I don't care what you're going to do with this school building. They want to make our children like animals and make them live like animals and not just teach them about sex, let them have sex with each other. My son is not there. I want my money back. And if every Christian asks for their money back they spent on the school, they will go broke. They will be bankrupt, and there will not be school education in America. Unless the gay and lesbian want to support it, they go for it. Give us our money back, and you can have the building, and you can have your children in the building. We're going to take this money, and we can build some our own Christian school, Christian education. But I know for sure our kids will be the best.
Well,
I
don't disagree that that would be a good idea. But what I can tell you that it actually is happening on a more on a shorter time frame is parents are going to these school boards, and in many cases they're removing the school board members who are supporting this kind of foolishness in there. Even some of the teachers have gone to the school board meetings complaining about the material that they are being forced to teach. Now, Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, has passed a law, and he signed it. If I'm mistaken about that, it's that they initiated this as an order from the governor's office to not allow critical race theory to be taught
this is a law,
in the school.
That's a law already passed. Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
I saw it on news last week. Yes, indeed. Yeah.
But now the federal government is suing Ron DeSantis. So it's going to take some guts to stand up to this stuff, but that is our hope, that we will have more people with the courage. This is why in many states, such as the one I live in, there are laws against abortions and limiting abortion accessibility. Okay. The other thing that happened is that there aren't any abortion clinics left in this state except for one, because people shut them down by protesting, by talking to the women that were going there to get abortions, giving them options for how they could have their child and give their child up for adoption, how they could have their child and get some help to take care of their child if they wanted that child but just couldn't afford it. So, you see, action can change things, but it's going to take people in a community to stand up against their own public school. It's going to take people to stand up for what's right, and that's what all of this is about.
Amen.
It's all about.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 100%. It's true. It's true.
So I wanted to just share a couple other things real quick, and then I wanted you to talk about what's going on with the Pope. So let's hit these other things really quick. Because we pulled out of Afghanistan today, There are no more troops left in Afghanistan. Now, I have to tell you, sometimes when you hear those stories, it's not exactly accurate, but basically they didn't have a ceremony. They didn't have any indication of this. Joe Biden was asked about it. He gave no information. He said, well, you know, it's a holiday. I don't want to talk about it. They were making fun of that and going, well, he's on vacation today, but he'll probably be taking a vacation day tomorrow, too, because tomorrow's the 4th. Oh, yeah, and Monday is a federal holiday. So Joe Biden will not have any answers or comments about this, at least until Tuesday. You know, I mean, it was they were making a joke about it. This was a big thing. Yeah. We've been in Afghanistan for 20 years. Nothing was said about this to, you know, thank the troops, acknowledge their efforts, nothing. It's just like, okay, we're going to turn tail and run. That's kind of like what happened in Vietnam. So it was an error to be there, but, you know, we could have been a little more, you know, we could have had a little better exit plan. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
So now we have a global coalition that fears the Islamic State is going to expand immediately,
you know what? It is the truth. It doesn't matter if we are in Afghanistan or not.
No.
Because we were in Afghanistan under Barack Hussein Obama.
20 years.
And the Taliban, got stronger, and the Al-Qaeda were stronger. Actually, yes. Al-Qaeda became the greatest army from the days of Muhammad, which is Daesh, ISIS.
Yes.
ISIS did not exist because we left Afghanistan.
No, I understand
ISIS
that.
Got there because Mr. Barack Hussein Obama looked the other way and let them grow and move from two states, which is Iraq and Afghanistan, Iraq and Syria, and move to 28 countries. So if you want to find an excuse why the jihad is going to grow and going to be mightier in the next 3 years, it has nothing to do with leaving Afghanistan or not. But it has to do with...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It have a lot to do with Joe Biden, the weak president in the White House.
Well, that was not what I was getting at. I was just mentioning that we left Afghanistan. That has nothing to do with this. But the point is exactly what you just said. This is because of Biden being in office and Trump not being in office. You've said this over and over again. When your enemy's weak, the Muslims believe, that's when you go after them. And they see Biden as very weak. And that is why we're going to see this expansion. It has nothing to do with even, you realize Trump didn't commit more people to fight ISIS, but he said, you got to stop playing around. Kill them. Get this over with. And guess what? They said, oops. America's strong. We got a strong president, and that's why they
And once again, Christy, I will repeat what I said under Bush. Bush did not kill Al-Qaeda members. He killed a few thousands of them. Mr. Trump did not kill Al-Qaeda members. He killed their leaders. Yeah, he killed some of their top leaders. But ISIS is like Al-Qaeda, is like Boko Haram, is like Al-Hamas. If you're not going to wipe them out, by making literally a list of all the members of the ISIS. Well, ISIS have thousands and thousands more than what Trump killed. But what they did, they discovered that there's the chance for them to stand firm and stand strong against Trump. It will mean their own death. And to end that, they decide, well, we're not going to die. We just go to Walmart and buy some shaving cream and buy some blades and shave our beard. And guess what? Trump is out. Biden is back. Now we no longer need to shave our beards. We're going to grow our beards again, and ISIS is going to come back and more powerful than they ever been. And the weaker the president, the stronger the Muslim leaders all over the world. It's reality.
And,
it's just fact.
And that, ABC. You've been talking about this for, 20-some years? So I know.
Oh, my
life. This is the story, but we're seeing it play out, and that's the point I was getting at, is exactly now Biden is in office, and they are seeing, uh-oh, now what's going to happen? Because Trump's not there, and they're not afraid of Biden. They're not worried that he'll do something. You know, like you said, they were waiting it out because their leaders were being killed, and they knew the consequences of you know, their actions would be met by a strong president. But see, that's not there now, so we're going right back to where we were when Obama lit, in my opinion, I call it, I say he lit the Middle East on fire. They went after and killed the leadership of Libya. They killed the leadership, or took down the leadership in Egypt. He was going after these countries and saying, oh, we're going to get rid of these dictators. And as you had said, you're not going to eliminate the threat from Islam by killing a leader. You're just going to ignite all the wolves to start fighting each other to try to be on top. So you were exactly right. We destroyed Muammar Gaddafi, and what we got for it was Benghazi.
The idea of Bush was the idea of Obama, which is a falsehood, that if we get rid of these dictators, we're going to bring democracy into these countries. No, you get rid of these dictators, you get the Muslim Brotherhood and the Al-Qaeda,
yeah,
and the Fatah and the Hamas and the Hezbollah and Boko Haram and Al-Shabaab and on and on and on. The Muslim jihadi are not in control of the Middle East because of the existence of the dictators. You get rid of the dictators, the Muslim will come in power. And sadly, many of the conservatives like McCain, who believe that these are freedom fighters. No, you idiot. They're not freedom fighters. They're Allah's fighters. They are the Muslim jihadi who will not only destroy the Middle East, they're going to destroy America if you just give them the chance.
Yeah, I remember this because you and I doing this show, this same show we do, you know, like we're doing tonight, we talked about this and said, oh my gosh, McCain thinks he's supporting freedom fighters, but they're jihadists. He doesn't know the difference. He can't tell. And you had talked about this to educate people.
Yeah.
But you see,
yeah,
when Trump came in, the situation changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what I'm trying to say is, it's going to go back because of what's happening now and the administration's weakness on these issues. We're going to be right back in the same mess we were under Obama. At least that could happen unless God intervenes in some way, but we really need to pray, not just for America, but the poor people in these countries that are also going to suffer because they're going to be the victims. Like I've read every week, all of the places where Christians are being persecuted, arrested, killed, because Islamic Jihad is back. Sad.
Yeah, they become bold and they become strong because they know that nobody is going to stand for them. It's a bully. Same idea of if you're in a school and there's a bully kid there and nobody's going to stand for him, he will just continue to be bullied and control the whole class. Now, if somebody stands for him, it's over. That's exactly what the role of America in the world today. But I remember one thing, McCain, before I forget, McCain said, Mr. McCain, these are Muslim jihadis. They shout Allahu Akbar. He said, oh, Allahu Akbar means God is great. I said, yes, indeed. God is great and you're stupid. That's what it is. Because Allah is not God and Akbar is not great. The word Akbar means bigger. Allah is bigger. My God is bigger than your God. And that's a shout Muhammad taught the Muslims from day one. They shout as they behead the infidels. They shout it as they siege villages and take over land. That's exactly a shout of victory. When a Muslim uses it, that is 100% is a great evidence that that Muslim is a jihadi, is a true Muslim believer. It has nothing to do with the greatness or God. It has something to do with Allah, Satan, and the shout of victory to wipe out anyone who stands against it. Welcome to the reality of Muslim and Islam. Sadly, McCain did not know it, and he died without knowing it. And because of his lie,
Now you go on Google Translate, Christy. I'm not kidding. You go on Google Translate right now and put the word Allahu Akbar. Guess what is going to show up in English? God is great.
Oh, I know.
Even though, even though, if you put the word Akbar by itself, it say bigger. Akbar is bigger.
Yeah.
But Allahu Akbar, God is great. Somehow the word changed from bigger to great just by putting the word Allah next to it.
That's amazing. Yeah. But, you know, this is, again, why we have this show and try to educate people to the truth about Islam. And but just talking about the persecution increasing, report, Vietnam Christians suffer imprisonment and land confiscation by the government. That's in Vietnam. So then you have Iranian Christians are fearing more persecution under the new president. China launches a crackdown on church members. Pakistan upholds life sentence for Christian accused of sending text messages against Islam. India persecution. I mean, all of this is going up. Yes.
The number of Christians are going to be persecuted as we get close to the end, and I know this will be a fact, is the number going to continue to grow. The reasons will continue to multitude, and the severity is going to get deeper and deeper. This is the reality concerning the end of time. Christians are not going to have it easy or wonderful and good, and the only reason they're going to be persecuted because they are Christians, not any other reason.
But
it's,
you know
what,
Usama?
It's not because they're doing anything illegal or anything criminally. No.
No.
The only reason Christians will be persecuted is simply because they are believers in Jesus Christ.
So there we go. Are we going to fight this spiritual war? Are we going to stand up for Jesus? Are we going to pray? Are we going to reach others for Christ so that we can see the turnaround in America that really, truly could change the situation for all of these things if our nation, which was established on the Judeo-Christian Bible, if this can come back to be faithful to God, it can be a blessing on the whole world. Not only are we seeing problems in all these other countries where Christians don't have any confidence in what America's going to do to protect them, so they're like sitting ducks, but we also have Israel, that Joe Biden had a meeting with the representatives of the Palestinian Liberation or the Hamas or whoever before he would meet with Netanyahu. And now Netanyahu is no longer the president. But we're seeing that the shift away from supporting Israel is going to cause more attacks against Israel. So,
sure.
You see,
one
we're going to be accountable to God on all of these things.
Same reason. If you meet with a Palestinian and you don't meet with the prime minister of Israel, that means you have more respect for the Palestinians. That means you give them more dignity. That means they are a little bit stronger than they used to be, which means they can have the upper hand. And if they have the upper hand, Quran 47:35, they will never call for peace as they become more violent, because now it's time for us to show our peace, and it's time now for us to show our strength, and we will get more money from America, and we have more rights in the land, and on and on. It's the same circle. It's unending story. It doesn't matter if you do it with Egypt, you do it in Syria, you do it in Iraq, you do it in Palestinians, you do it anywhere. Muslims are strong when we are, when we show us respect for them. You think, Chris, if you meet with them and make them feel like they're important, they come to the table and negotiate peace? No. You meet with them, you make them strong, and kiss the peace goodbye. Backwards.
Yes.
Backwards. Because Islam is backwards.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You sent another article, and this is the last one I'm going to share, then we're going to go on to other teaching. But I think this is really important because, as I said, I was having this very long conversation with someone yesterday, and this is the ignorance that is all over in leadership. Here is Pope Francis And this article that you sent me says, quote, tear down the walls against Islam. You sent me this article, Usama. Did you read it? Did you know how ridiculous this article is?
It is so stupid. Victimizing the Muslims makes them like they are the victims of us. The problem is we, not the Muslims. The problem is the West, not the Middle East or the Muslims. The problem is everything is right is wrong, and everything is wrong is right. I do not know. You think it is ignorance, Christian? I think it is the devil blindness. Pope
yes.
is so. I don't believe he has any clue. He does not know what he's saying. He does not know what he's doing. Every decision he made, every document he wrote, every speech he gave when it comes to Islam, the guy is backwards. He got the whole thing backwards. And the funny thing is the Catholic Church are getting to realize that now, but they can't do anything
yes.
about it.
I mean, yes. And
how many Catholic friends of mine I know and I met with, they don't want to even mention the Pope. When you talk about the Pope, you see their face get down, their heart is broke,
yes.
and they're sick in their stomach. But what can you do about it? Can you remove the Pope? Remove the Benedict 16, whatever his name, the guy before, what's his name? I can't remember
Benedict.
The name of the guy.
Benedict.
No,
they
Benedict.
Got rid of it.
Benedict
yep.
is what you have in your stomach, inside your body. Benedict
no,
16.
No.
You don't want
yeah.
to remove him because he made some astonishing, powerful statement against Islam
against
and Muhammad.
Allah.
Even he tried to correct it, but the Muslims say, uh-uh, you cannot have this guy.
That's why they got rid of him. Usama, we talked about it. I said, have you ever heard of this before? A Pope retiring? No, he was retired because he was making comments the Muslims did not like. So now we have Pope Francis. And I want to just say quickly, for my friends who are Catholic, any of them, they're all having this issue. They all say the same thing. What is this man doing? They are having very big issues. But I want to just, if you would like, I mean, I would like to read a little bit of this article because this
is
history that most people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
This is history most people don't know. So let's read a little bit of it and then explain a little bit about how and why and what happened in history that Americans have been totally deceived about. Okay, this is Pope Francis. Pope Francis wants any and all walls, real or figurative, that stand between the West and Islam broken down immediately, or so he's constantly saying. Most recently on Sunday, June 13th, 2021, he called the, quote, growth of a more supportive humanity that tears down the wall of indifference. This was spoken in the context of urging Europeans to take in more illegally arrived Muslim migrants. Usama, we know they've been having a lot of problems in Europe because of these Muslim immigrants coming in and not because they want to have the freedom of Europe.
He
want right?
to give the Muslims, in simple words, Christy, he want to give the Muslims the West. End of story. That's
yes.
it is. Now, here's my suggestion to him. I know he live in a big house. Okay, and that house has a big wall around it. Will he go ahead and give it to the Muslims too? Will he allow illegal Muslims to take over where he lives? Remove the walls. I'm not joking. I'm serious. Remove the walls from the beautiful, beautiful, fancy building of the Catholic Church and allow the Muslims to take over all the fancy churches. Peter, St. Peter, and St. Paul, and St. Mark, give it to them. Let's start with your house. When the liberals, in America rejected the wall, which is between us and South America, Mexico, I say, why not we take your wall out? Let's remove the entry door of your house. You don't need a door in the front of your house. You don't need walls around your fancy building, the millions of dollars castle. And let the illegal move into your house. Let's start with your house, Christy. If you don't want to have a wall, let's take the wall from around your house.
And trust me, if you will do that, I will go down and take the Trump wall down. I will go cut some of the steel down, and I'll make sure there's no border between us and the Mexicans. But the problem is these people set two rules. The Pope is setting two rules. He doesn't want anybody to stop the Muslims illegally to come take over the West. But he lives in a castle with walls and big doors around it.
Well, exactly. And that is what this article is. I put the picture of this also in the slideshow so people can see it. And this article is making this same point that you're talking about, and here's what it says. He's talking about builders of walls, he said, and he may be throwing that at Trump as well. Be they be made of razor wire or bricks, will end up becoming prisoner of the walls they build. Builders of walls would be prisoners of the walls they build. With fear, we will not move forward. With walls, we remain closed within these walls. Then he comes and talks about how they need to get rid of these walls, okay, against Islam, figuratively or literally. So here's what this is. Now, this is the article as it continues. The grand irony of all this is that Pope Francis lives in the only state to be surrounded by walls, Vatican City. And most of these bastions were erected to ward off ongoing Islamic invasions. Why does Vatican City have a wall around it? Because of the invasions of the Muslims in 1852, they completed the wall. I mean, no, not 18, 852. This is before the Crusade started. And I had to go in and explain that history because the way that the history is being taught is that the Christians were attacking the Muslims. And I'll bet you that's what this Pope is saying. You know, I mean, it's almost that crazy. But the point was the Muslims were attacking. They were attacking Rome. They were attacking Europe.
About, 472 years of invasions. Muslims has invaded all North Africa. And they crossed from Morocco to Spain. They took all the Middle East. They crossed. They took actually Turkey, which is used to be the great Christian country. That's where Paul has his ministry. That's where the apostle, the beloved John, wrote about the seven churches in the book of Revelation. And then they start moving to France, to England, to Germany. They were going everywhere. They were going to Italy.
Yes.
The reason they built that wall and to protect from the Muslim invasion, it's simply because they were afraid of the Muslim. But that Pope is not afraid of the Muslim. He want to give them the whole world because he's so ignorant of the past. You know what, Christy?
Yes.
If you do not learn from the history of the past, that history logically will repeat itself. Muslims will end, take over the world, and that's exactly what's coming. If it's a Democrat of America or the useful idiot Pope of Italy or any of the liberals of Europe, they are super stupid. Even when the Prime Minister of Germany said she made a mistake and to bring this 2.3 or 2.4 million Muslim refugees, did anybody learn from that? And today, still Germany bringing Muslim refugees. Today, all the Muslims, all the European countries are taking Muslim refugees. They're stupid. They're like drunk who threw up and eat their own shroon and throw up again. They're stupid. Take the wall down,
This is the last statements of this article, which I thought were really good. It also points out that the Crusades didn't start until 200 years later after that walls were built around Vatican City. And we know that the Crusades came very late. But anyway, but here's the point at the end of this article. And that is the point that Pope Francis, whose own ancient city would never have lasted to the present if not for walls, misses walls should go down and bridges should be extended only when both parties are willing to live in amicable peace. Otherwise, they serve only to make the destructive work of those who have for centuries been trying to conquer and destroy in the name of Islam much easier.
Yeah, you know, that useful idiot, that Pope, the sick head guy, does not understand that Muslims always sign peaceful agreement, always. And it is always limited to 10 years. I'm not kidding you. From the days of Muhammad until Obama's deal with Iran, until Biden deal with the Muslims coming up soon, they would love to sign peace agreement for 10 years. Why not 20 years? Why not 50 years? 10 years because in the 11th, you can kiss that peace goodbye.
Yeah,
Muslims right now are willing. All Muslims right now are willing to have peace agreement with every European country, with America, with Canada, with South America, with China, with the whole world. The 57 Muslim countries right now will sign a peace agreement with planet Earth for the next 10 years. Why? Because they know in the 11th year, the 10 years will be over, and they will have enough people in every country in the world. You know, Christy, there are plenty of millions of Muslims to control and destroy the world. Just let them in first. Take that wall down, figuratively and spiritually and mentally and psychologically. Take the wall down so Muslims can take over. That is exactly the agenda of the Muslims. They are talking to the Pope and the Pope. Yes, good idea. Let's build bridges. What's going to happen in the bridges? Can we go to Saudi Arabia and build a church, you idiot? Like the previous Pope allows them to build a mosque in Italy. In the Vatican, literally, they made a deal with them. We build you a mosque and we build us a church. Yeah, the mosque is built and the church was never built.
Yeah, right.
The bridge is going to be built.
Yes.
For one way, that is the dumbest of the dumb. You don't build bridges for one way. Bridges are working good when they're built two-way, wide enough for two cars to go. But if you're going to build a bridge and the cars will only go from Saudi Arabia to France, from Saudi Arabia to Germany, from Saudi Arabia to England, from Saudi Arabia, no, I'm just mentioning Saudi Arabia as a Muslim country. How about from the 57 Muslim countries to all over the West, and that bridge will not allow the cars to go the other way, well, you may kiss all these countries, which is the second portion of the bridge, the second border of the bridge is on. You can kiss this country goodbye. And that's exactly what's coming to all over Europe and all over America. I don't know when, as I started earlier tonight, I'm hoping and praying that this will not happen in the next 10 years. I'm hoping and praying that maybe Mr. Trump will undo that sick head Biden or O'Biden did in the last year, and maybe we can stop their taking us down to the ground in 2022. But if this did not happen, trust me, the end of America and the end of Canada and the end of Australia and the end of the West is coming very soon. Very soon.
Well, we have all the ingredients for either destruction or revival or people returning to their faith in earnest. But you know what's sad? Is we know by just the article we just looked at, by some of the other things we've shared in the past, it's not just the Catholic Church. We had all this stuff going on with the Southern Baptists, although thankfully they're waking up to some of the foolishness that was going on with J.D. Greer. So hopefully there is hope that, like you said, the Catholics, many of them are going, what is this Pope doing? Southern Baptist going, what is J.D. Greer doing? Maybe there's still hope, you know? Are people going to recognize that the church has got to get on its knees and really be serving Jesus Christ, not their congregations in the sense that, oh, well, I got to build my congregation. So if I have a lot of unbelievers in here, I still got good numbers. Maybe if I preach, they'll get saved. That is not how the church is to grow. You know how the church is supposed to grow, Usama. How is it supposed to grow?
I'm sorry, ma'am, what?
The scripture says they added to the church daily.
Oh, yes, those who believe. Those who believed.
They get saved before you bring them into the church, folks. Otherwise, you're filling your church with people that don't know the Lord.
Yeah, and the Pope does not understand that verse because I don't believe that Pope knows what it is to believe.
No,
the
I don't
Pope
think
is
so.
The devil inside the Catholic Church.
Well, I agree. But I'm saying even in the Southern Baptist Church, even in the Baptist Church, even in the Methodist Church, too many people in there that don't know Jesus.
Christy, that is the only reason why I'm not speaking in many of this mega church, big churches or liberal churches. The reason we don't, because they have some people in the church who are Obama lovers, who are Biden lover, who are Hillary lover. I'm talking about Baptist ministers who are not born again Christians, who are Obama lovers, Democrat lovers. I mean, literally, I used to speak in a big church in a camp meetings in Ohio. I spoke there last year. But actually, they stopped me for 3 or 4 years, actually maybe 5 years. I did not speak because I found later one of the black minister of this Church of God denomination is Obama lover, and he did not like what I said about Obama when he heard me speak about Obama 7 or 8 years ago, and that's why the camp, they denounced me, and they will not allow me to speak because of one black preacher. One black preacher. He reminds me of the stupid senator of Georgia, that black preacher, the magician.
Yes.
And he used to be a church of God. That man, I'm not kidding, church of God, full of the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues and prophesy, and he does not know Jesus Christ.
Well, Usama, let's also look at the fact of how many black ministers have actually came to you after Obama was in office. And do you remember that? What happened? Because that happened right here where I live in Mississippi. Tell them about that, because there's the other side. People have to make a decision about the truth.
It can go either way, Christy. It can go either way. You can learn the lesson and move in the right direction, or be bold and be ignorant and continue to force the wrong things. Yeah. It can
but
go either way.
Yes, but do you remember what happened with many of the black preachers here who were upset with you over what you said and that you were talking about Obama? I mean, I just wanted you to share that if you remember what happened.
You know how many church, Christy? I will not remember a specific one.
All
if
right,
you name
all
one
right.
for me,
you
may remember.
Okay. This was an incident where you had talked against Obama and a number of black preachers that were in attendance at a meeting later, after Obama was elected in an office. This happened maybe a year later. And many of those black preachers came and listened to you. And one of them came up and said, I voted for Obama because of this. And he touched his...
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Through my skin. Yeah. He held his hand and... And that man was so humble. I will always remember him. And it is sad. It is sad because, well, you know what? We're all, none of us is perfect, Chrissy. So, but at least that man stood up and confessed that because of the skin, the color of his arm skin, he voted for Obama, and he confessed it was a mistake. It was a dumb mistake. But what can you do? He cannot
and
undo
that's
your vote.
Where, but that's where it is what. You know, what I'm talking about, what I know you also believe, is there is a place where we submit ourselves and we have to humble ourselves and say, you know, hey, I made a mistake. And now, you know, it isn't just useless. It means you get your heart right with the Lord. That's what repentance does. It isn't just that you're telling people you're sorry. It's getting things right between you and the Lord, so the lesson that you learned, you might be able to pass on to someone else. And I think there were several black preachers there, and they were all basically realizing they had made a mistake by condemning you for what you said about Barack Obama because they didn't believe he was Muslim. But you had been saying that before he was elected president, that he was a Muslim man.
I said it when he was running as a senator.
Yep, exactly.
2 years before he was a president. Actually, more than 2 years. He served as a senator for 2 years. It'd be at least 2.5 years, if not 3 years, before he became a president.
Yes.
I said, here's your first Muslim senator. And people look at me like I'm crazy. And I said, if he will run, he will win as a president.
Yeah.
And he said, he will be your first Muslim president. And people look at me like I'm not. And now we are in Obama's third term.
Yes, exactly.
So that means, means what I said earlier, when Muslims take office, they never leave office. They have influence and they have power to continue until that country is gone.
We can look at the Lord and realize we're in a spiritual war. That spiritual war is against everything we've talked about. It's against the perversion of our children, the perversion of our United States of America to turn one color against another color. It's to confuse children that they don't know if they're male or female. It's political agendas that are only self-serving, and it is against the lies that Muslims are teaching in order to conquer our Western world, not just America, but Europe, as even the Pope is talking about. Oh, let them in. So all of these things, they seem like a million problems, but it's all the same source. It is Satan and his plan.
You're right. Well, Christy, we only have 1.5 hour left for our program for tonight, and I really, really want to get to Quran chapter 29 to cover a little bit about Abraham. Otherwise, Abraham would take us 10 years.
Okay.
Do you have anything else you share before we get to our
We had that thing that you wanted to play, and it takes 10 minutes. So,
how about we'll do Abraham, and maybe we'll move live, which is the sin of silence for the next broadcast, I promise you. Okay?
All right. We can do that, and you know what? It'll be just as good next week as it would be this week. Now,
until we have a revival.
Still the problem.
So.
Yes. Usama, okay, I have that we covered verses 16 through 17 last week. So pick us up from there.
Because we compared what he said to his people to the others. So we're going to move to verse 18 down. Yes, ma'am.
All right, let me get on there right now.
وَإِن تُكَذِّبُوا فَقَدْ كَذَّبَ أُمَمٌ مِّن قَبْلِكُمْ وَمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولُ إِلَى الْبَلَاغِ الْمُبِينِ أَوَلَمْ يَرُوا كَيْفَ يُبْدِئُ اللَّهُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. Okay, go ahead, Christy.
Okay, starting with verse, which one is it now?
18, ma'am. 18. 29, 18.
Okay, here we go. And if you deny, so indeed nations before you denied. And the messenger's duty is only the clear delivery.
I'm amazed that Abraham is speaking to his people here, and he tells them that even though he himself in the Bible was an idol worshiper or living like the rest of the family for the 70 years, and he was never sent as a messenger to his people. I mean, a challenge in Muslim to show me in the Bible, where did God send Abraham to speak and preach to his people? God called Abraham out of Ur al-Kildariyin. He did not send him as a messenger to Ur al-Kildariyin. You see, Muslims who never read the Bible, Christians, they have no clue what they're reading in the book. They think here that Abraham was sent to the people, his family, his people, his father, his relative, as a messenger, and he's preaching to them and asking them to believe, don't deny me, don't call me a liar, and on and on. This is not truth at all. Abraham never spent an hour or a minute to preach to anybody in his home country in Ur al-Kildariyin. Not 1 minute, because God never sent him there. God called him out of there. You know what's the difference between calling somebody out and sending somebody in?
Well, one is in and one is out.
Thank yes. you. You got it, Chrissy. You're so smart. You're killing me. Go to verse 19.
Okay. Or have they not seen how Allah begins the creation, then repeats it? Surely this is easy for Allah.
Excuse me, what? They seen how Allah begins the creation? Wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that the people of Abraham were there when Allah beginning the creation with Adam and Eve?
I don't think
you know,
so.
It's Muhammad is putting words next to each other to make poetry. There's no logic. There's no message. And then Allah will repeat the creation. Christy, let me explain something to you. When you create something, you make it out of nothing. You know that? Creation? When God created the world, he did not use some other material from other planets and bring it to this world. No. He spoke this world into existence, which means that world was not there. That's why we call this creation. Now,
yes.
How in the world you repeat the creation? They're talking about making the baby. Okay. Making the baby is not creation. That's making baby. There's not one child is born out of nothing. It starts with a sperm and an egg. When you start with
right.
a sperm and egg, it's no longer creation. That's why Yusuf Ali in his translation will not use the word create, but he say he made. Which makes sense, but he is not translating the Quran, right? He's lying. Yeah, it's easy for Allah to create and recreate. There is no recreate. And nobody has seen the creation of Adam and Eve. Even Adam did not see the creation of Eve because he was asleep. Can you imagine
right.
that, Christy?
But the
Adam
Bible
was
tells
not like
us.
Open his eyes and God do some a little bit, what do you call it, when you spray some of this thing on the spot so you can numb it. God did not numb where Adam part where he took the rib out of. No. Adam was asleep. He never saw it. He wake up his eyes and, whoa, woman! That's exactly what happened when he saw her beauty. Anyway, move on. Next verse. 20.
Say, walk on the earth, so look how the creation began. Then Allah will create the hereafter creation. Surely Allah has might over all things.
You cannot walk anywhere, Christy, on planet Earth or even in the galaxy to see the beginning of the creation. You can't.
Exactly.
How in the world you can see how God created the first day in the creation, second day of creation, third. How can he do that? Nobody's seen it. Nobody
except
has ever
God.
You can, go back and see. You can travel all over the world. Trust me, you're not going to see a thing.
That's
because
right.
when God rested on the last day, on the sixth day, and God rested from his work, there's no more new creation, Christy. Nothing new under the sun. All the invention, everything we make, we don't create. Because we're using
yes.
some stuff already here.
We use the material
say,
that God has
say,
given us.
We don't say, yeah.
Yeah.
We don't say we made Subaru, we create Subaru 2021. No, we make it. We don't create airplane, we make it. Why? Because unless you want to come up from your own, out of nothing, you bring some steel and some aluminum and some wires and some plastic and some rubber, and you make your own airplane out of nothing, then you say, he created an airplane. But we don't make anything out of nothing. Therefore,
right.
we are making, creating. Next verse, Chris. Next verse.
He torments whom he wills and will have mercy on whom he wills, and to him you will be returned.
Man, yeah.
There now, he is again.
How wonderful, how justifiable that God is. He just want to torment some and he show mercy to others without any reasonable cause. I mean, literally, in Islam, there's no freedom. You don't have freedom to be a Muslim or to be an infidel. If Allah chooses for you to be an infidel, you're an infidel. Allah chooses for you to be a believer, you are a believer. And worse than that, they want to kill you if you are an infidel, even though Allah wants you to be an infidel. So they can force you to become a believer. Help me, Lord, help me.
Next verse?
Next, ma'am. Yes, yes.
Okay. And you will not escape on the earth nor in the heaven, and you do not have any friend nor helper without Allah.
You're not escape on the earth nor in the heaven. I mean, does Abraham, was Abraham drunk when he made that verse? How can he escape to heaven? In Abraham days, there was no airplane. I mean, you may think they maybe take a shuttle and fly up to the moon, go to some other place in the heaven, the earth, the heaven of the earth. But what is that? Do Muslims use logic to understand what's written in the Quran? How can a Muslim think that people can have a helper or a friend without Allah, without God? Who's going to help me against God, Christy? Okay, the idea here is nobody can help you against God. If God want to torment you, that's over.
And if
Muhammad is drunk and make up this poetry about Abraham, which none of it happened, what is so amazing? All these words you're reading, Christy, not one of these words came out of the lips of Abraham to his people.
Yeah, it's amazing because it's in quotes.
Because he would not send as a prophet or a messenger to his people.
No, I never understood Abraham to be a prophet, right?
Well,
but they
in
believe
the Quran,
he was,
he's
right?
A great prophet.
He's one in
oh,
the Quran.
Yeah. Everybody's a prophet. Joseph is a prophet. Alexander the Great is a prophet, right? For heaven's sake, Alexander the Great is a prophet. A gay guy is a prophet.
It's crazy.
Who claims to be God, by the way.
And
the hoopoe,
you
know the hoopoe? Remember the hoopoe in Solomon days? He's a prophet. As a matter of fact, as Muhammad said, 124,000 prophets. Every bird, every creature is a prophet. I'm not kidding.
Isn't there an ant that's a prophet to the ants?
If you ever walk in the ants and you kill an ant, you may be surprised. You may kill some prophets already by your foot, Christy.
I know. These are the things that made me laugh, and I'm sorry.
When we were working on your book,
I mean, this was silly. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. You know how some people would be very careful when they don't kill any bugs and they take it from inside their homes and they put them in the palm of their hand and go outside the window and get it go in the grass or these people never kill a prophet, but I killed a lot of prophets. As a matter of fact, I enjoy spraying them with poison and killing them. Anyway, let's move on. Next verse. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And those who became infidels in the verses of Allah and his meeting, those will despair from my mercy, and those will have a painful torment.
What verses? Did Abraham ever wrote a verse from Allah? Did Abraham have a book like we're going to see a little bit later? So have Abraham, the scroll of Abraham. Abraham, literally in the Quran, Abraham wrote a book. I wonder what happened to the book of Abraham. Do you know that there is not one source, any evidence by any Jewish theologian or Jewish historian or Greek or anybody of any, for all those who wrote about anything about, there's not one source that Abraham ever received a book or wrote a book as Muslims claim except in the Quran? I mean, what is the chance that Abraham really wrote a book? What happened to that book? And the funny thing is Muslims believe in Abraham, Prophet Abraham, and they believe in the book of Abraham. They believe in a book never exist.
It's interesting because you would think if there was a book of Abraham, the Jewish people would know about it, right?
No, not just the Jewish people. Okay. If Abraham wrote a book and he had the book, don't you think, let's go with the Muslim thought, not the Christian thought, because that's not true, not the Jewish thought. Abraham has a son by the name Ishmael. And Abraham and Ishmael built the Kaaba. And Ishmael is the father of the Arabs. Why don't we have any other Arab sources, any Arab historian, any Arab poet, those who write poetry, anybody else besides Muhammad who mentioned the book of Abraham?
Well, probably because it doesn't exist.
Exactly.
Would that be a good guess? Yes.
He was not. Chris, you're right on the money tonight. Everything he says is true. Not only he was not sent to his people, he was taken out from his people. None of what Muhammad said about Abraham and on and on and on with this contradictory conversation. Christy, what you're reading now, we never read in any of the other previous stories. Ladies and gentlemen, open the Quran, put it side by side. Compare what we're reading right now in chapter 29 to that which we read before in chapter 26 to that which written before in chapter, I'm going to give you the chapter here, in chapter, keep going, here we go, 22, compared to that which is written before in chapter 21. I mean, read all these chapters side by side. The conversation is always different. It's like you're reading about Abraham, and you're reading about Johnny, and you're reading about Mark, and you're reading about Nancy. Different people. No, we're talking about the same Abraham. And not once the information is repeated the same. And what is so amazing, Christy, Muslims mock the Bible. They say the Bible is not the word of God. Why is that? Because the four Gospels. Why is that? Well, what Matthew wrote is not exactly word for word what John or Mark or Luke wrote. These are four eyewitness, four people writing to us the good news, the gospel about Jesus. They're not copying each other. They're writing to us what the Holy Spirit led them to write. They're not quoting to us word for word what happened, what Jesus said, and what Jesus did, because they're looking at Jesus from a different angle. But guess what? They're telling the same truth.
The same fact.
Now, you go to Abraham. It's one guy. Wrote by one man. His name is Muhammad. Supposed to be this conversation is already written in the Holy Quran in the heaven, kept on the guarded board before the creation of Adam and Eve. Can you imagine? Before Abraham ever said any of this word, this information was already written on the guarded board in heaven. The Quran is not a created book. The Quran was written in heaven on the guarded board, which Allah Almighty has protected himself before the creation. But when you go and read what Abraham said, every time you read the same story, it's different words. Different words. Which one of these did Abraham say? He cannot be all right.
That's a very important point that people don't know, generally, at least most Christians don't know, is that just what you said, that this Quran was existed on a board. It cannot be changed, right? Well, then, if it's on that board, how come he can't get it straight?
Why did Allah wrote the book before it ever was written, before it was ever said? Now Abraham have to go back to the book and make sure that he'd say the same word.
He says the exact same thing that it says on the board.
Go to verse 24. We're going to run out of time, Christy.
All right.
24.
So the answer. So the answer
of
his
people
was not except that they said, kill him or burn him. So Allah delivered him from the fire. Surely in this are signs to a believing people.
Yeah. O fire, be cold and peace. That's what Allah said. Kill him or burn him. What a dumb statement here. What do you mean kill him or burn him? Kill him. You compare the killing to burning? I can say, you know, behead him. Or stab him with a sword in his chest, or cut his arm and hand from opposite side, like Muhammad said in Quran 5:33. But what do you mean kill him or burn him? You mean burning him is not killing him?
Well, maybe it's just a little burn.
It's so stupid. I can see.
Maybe it's
him,
just a little burn from a candle.
Shoot him or stone him, okay, Christy? Shoot him or stone him. hang him by a rope or kill him by electric chair, but not kill him or burn him.
Yeah, that's pretty goofy.
and Allah delivered him from the fire. Why Allah did not say, so I delivered him from the fire? Why Allah speak of himself in the third person?
It is odd, isn't it?
And that is a sign. That's a miracle. For people who believe, of course, you and I are not believers. That's why it's not a miracle. It's a stupid story. It's a nonsensical story. Next verse, 25.
And he said, surely you only took the idols without Allah as your friendship between you and the world's life. Then on the resurrection day, some of you will become an infidel of the others, and some of you will curse the others, and your abode is the fire, and you will not have any helpers.
All right. Now that's my question, Christy. Did Abraham say that after Allah deliver him from the fire or before Allah, before they kill him or burn him? When do you think this verse happened? 25. Did verse 25 exist after 24 or before 24?
I mean, I would think it was before. So this doesn't make sense. Well, I know it's after
25 come after 24. Now, here's my question.
Yep.
What happened when Allah saved Abraham from the fire? He said, oh, fire, be peace and be cold and peace. And thank God because he said be peace. Because if he said be cold, Abraham will die from the cold, frozen hell, fire, okay? That's what Muslim scholars said. Ibn Kathir said that. Anyway, but now he is delivered. How many people of Abraham's family, of Abraham relatives, of his people, believed in Allah because Allah delivered Abraham from the fire? What is the name of the people who believed in Abraham because Allah delivered him from the fire? How many people?
Well, I have no idea.
None.
Until you look,
you know why?
Why? Because he wasn't in the fire.
I know. Hey, here's the joke. How many animals did Moses took with him on the ark?
So Moses didn't go on the ark, so don't try to fool me on that one.
Okay, so you got my point? No.
I got
this is just ridiculous. The whole thing is a joke. Now, next verse is very important. So go ahead to 26 because that is the answer. How many people believe in Abraham? By the way, as I shared with you from the interpretation of Ibn Kathir, Abraham's mama believed in Abraham. She actually went to the fire. And she says, Oh, Abraham. He said, yes, mama. Will your Lord allow me to come and visit with you? Sure, mama. Oh, would you ask Allah? So he asked Allah, my mama missed me a lot. I've been in the fire for how many days now? Would you please let my mama come to the fire and she fire will not hurt her, that like the fire is cold and peace on me? And Allah said, yes, absolutely. So here we go, Abraham mama, going inside the fire, walking on foot, Christy Johnson, walking on foot into the fire. She met with Abraham, hugged him, kissed him. Oh, son, I miss you a lot. I love you, son. And she kissed him and she had a cup of hot tea with him in the fire. And then she left. And Abraham, Allah delivered from the fire. And how many people believed in him? 326, if you don't mind.
So Lot believed in him, and he said, surely I am immigrating to my Lord. Surely he is the dear wise.
Did Lot immigrate to his Lord, or did Lot immigrate to Sodom and Gomorrah? First to Canaan land, and then to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Well,
did Lot went up to heaven? Where is his Lord? Where is that Lord is?
I know, it's weird.
Can you tell me what is the relationship between Lot and Abraham from the Quran? Not from the Bible. Forget about the Bible. The Quran.
Quran, I got no clue.
You have no idea.
Yeah.
He just believed in him.
It's just a name.
One of Abraham's people who believed in him. The whole thing, Christy, is dumb. The whole entire Quran is dumb for dumber. And I'm not even bothering you or our wonderful audience to read the interpretation of Al-Tabari or Ibn Kathir. I'm just looking at the verses. The more you read the interpretation, you can't help but to laugh. And you've seen this in my book.
Yes.
It is comedy. It's like a joke. No.
Well, I can tell you.
When he immigrated to his Lord. Okay. Some people say, well, he believed in Allah and he immigrated to Allah. No, but that's nonsense. Now, what city he went to? Where he was living? Why did Lot leave Abraham? If Lot traveled with Abraham and they immigrated together, what was the problem? You cannot understand anything about Lot or Abraham unless you go back to the Bible, because everything we read so far in the Quran, and we're already two-thirds of what is written about Abraham in the Quran, everything we read is nonsense. It's a joke. And Abraham is a great prophet. And Allah spoke about Abraham in the Quran more than Allah spoke about Muhammad.
Wow. Well, that's, you know, this is why I don't think Christians understand. I just want to make this point for people that may be listening for the first time. The Quran uses many of the names that we're familiar with in the Bible. And so Christians hear that, oh yeah, they believe in Abraham, they believe in blah blah, they believe in Jesus, they believe in Moses, they believe in Noah. Yeah, Noah was mentioned up there. But that, if you said, I believe in Usama Dakdok, he is a white guy who came from California and immigrated to Missouri. Yeah, I know Usama Dakdok. I'm just using the name. It's nothing about who that character really is.
But I came from France, Christy. Tiberle Francais, mademoiselle. I came from France. I can speak French too. Let's read the last verse. Verse 27, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead.
And we granted him Isaac and Jacob, and we assigned the prophethood and the book to his descendants. And we gave him his wage in this world, and surely in the hereafter he is among the good.
That's a very important verse, Chris. You know why? Because Allah here speak in the past tense. It is done deal. Allah granted him Ishmael and Isaac. Do you see Ishmael there?
No, Ishmael's not there.
Okay. How about Keturah's children, all the sons and the grandsons, who are the real ancestors of Arab? Do you see them anywhere there?
Nope.
So he granted him Isaac. And then after Isaac came who? Jacob. And then what Allah says, and we made in his descendants. And read what he got, because I'm reading the Arabic here. What
and
is the
we assigned the prophethood.
Assigned,
the past book.
Tense. We assigned prophethood and the book to his descendants, which is true. There is not any prophet is not a Jew. That's why they are God's chosen people. God chose Abraham. Because from Abraham he have Isaac, and from Isaac he have Jacob, and from Jacob he have the 12 sons, and from the 12 sons he brought the prophets.
Yeah, exactly.
All the prophets are Jews, and there is not, in the TV show I did with a pastor, a friend of mine, it was live a good 10 days ago or so, and the Muslim guy who's pretend to be smart, I literally felt so sorry for him, because he cannot speak Arabic. He cannot read Arabic. He memorized some words. But he's speaking about Islam like he's a scholar. And I said, read what's in front of you. I don't have the screen. I can't see what you're talking about. No, he has the screen in front of him. Everybody, me, him, Pastor Joe, and the moderator, we all can see the same screen.
Mm-hmm.
But he cannot read Arabic, Christy. And I
thought,
educate yourself, man. Learn Arabic before you keep like engine chat. Remember that guy? Same thing. The best people to speak of for Allah and Muhammad defending Islam cannot read a word in Arabic. They're super stupid. But he said, well, prophets from everywhere. I said, no, you're wrong. I said, where is the prophets for the Egyptians? Where are the prophets for the African? We got 40-some countries in Africa. Where are the prophets for all these people? I said, do you know any Chinese prophets? Do you know any Russian prophets? Do you know any
Canadian prophet or anybody else from planet Earth prophet. No, only the Jewish people are the prophets, because Allah said, and we assign the prophethood and the book, his descendants, to Jacob's descendants. End of story. You cannot make Muhammad a prophet, because there is no Arab prophet, there is no Gentile prophet, period.
Yes, amazing.
Yeah.
But we're out of
And
time.
The funny thing is, the last two words, Chris, read the last word in this verse 27. And what?
And in the hereafter, he is among the good.
Why not now? I mean, Abraham, and after the resurrection, will be among the good, but now he's not among the good? He's now among the, what, the bad? I'm telling you, Christy, when you study the Quran and meditate on the word of Allah in the Quran, you find out it is just sets of words, word, next word, next word, all ended with the poetry. Like in verse 26, 25, من الناصرين, and then الحكيم, لمن الصالحين, poetry. No more or less than just poetry without logic or common sense. There's no point. This has nothing to do with Abraham. Everything we read so far is a lie. Go ahead, please.
You know, Usama, and it's very important that people understand that, because all of the weight that Christians have been giving to the Quran and telling people that it's the same God, this is what is leading to all of these errors, because there's a Bible that we have in America, and we're blessed to have the whole Old Testament, New Testament. We have it available everywhere. A lot of people who love Jesus don't have an easy access to the Word of God. But here we would in America adopt the Quran. This is a foolish thing. And not only that, it's against Jesus himself, because the Quran says that Jesus is not the Son of God and he wasn't crucified for your sins. And the scripture tells us that means it is from the spirit of Antichrist, those that deny that Jesus is come in the flesh. You're reading an Antichrist book and saying it's the same as our Bible.
Because they have not read it, Christy. They have, they have read it, they have not understood it. End of story. Well, Christy, time is up. Thank you so much. Happy 4th of July to you. Happy 4th of July to all those who are listening to us now and those who will be listening a little bit later during the next few days. Happy belated 4th of July. May God bless you. May God bless America. And I hope and I pray that the Lord will perform some miracles in the next few weeks. I'm hoping to hear some good news about the recount in Arizona and everywhere else, towards you doing some really good job. Pray for the truth to be revealed, and God will continue point out the evil and the lies of the liberals of this country. God bless you, Christy, and you have a wonderful good night. Keep me in your prayers, guys. And check my website out, thestraightway.org. Is that straightway.org? And God bless you all. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Usama. God bless you, too. God bless everybody. Happy 4th of July, Independence Day.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now, perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity. Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. Join us each Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam.